This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors and, of course, Alec Medford asking simple questions that might have complex answers. Are the Rangers bats back? 877-881-1053. Franklin, injury attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. I understand for a lot of people, it's probably going to be like, I'm going to give it a little bit more time. But I think there are a lot of positive signs with this offense. But your initial thought, do you think the Rangers or bats are back, or either no, or you need more time?
See, the sarcastic Corey is like, yes, they did come back on the road trip. They brought the bats back, and they're also in the dugout. No, they've had over seven hits in how many games straight now? Is it four or five?
I'm not sure.
Maybe three. That's a significant deal. There were times, Kevin, where you were like, they only got two hits in this game.
And for sure.
So just even getting that much done, and Bochy keeps telling us, and I think will continue to tell us, the timing is the most important factor here. And that is it. Man, you get your timing down, you're hitting the barrel of your bat correctly. So that is starting to come around for them, and I'm liking seeing that. I think they're not back to World Series form.
Okay.
World Series form was unique, but I think they are back to right around at their best last year. And I think this is a good starting point for this team for the second half of the season.
Okay.
Now, if you hear Chris Young talk on G-Bag Nation, the big factor in this is he has ultimate belief in the talent of these players.
Yeah.
And that could wind up hurting him, or it could wind up saving him. I hope it saves him, obviously, because we love Chris Young.
Sure.
But he believes that their talent level, that the year they had in the World Series wasn't a blip, wasn't a career years for these guys. He believes, no, we brought them in because they're that talented and they just aren't performing at their best right now. But when they do, heck, if they perform at their middle, baseball team. And he thinks that they can win a lot of baseball games if they can perform at their best. So I think that the bats are around. And as you go through this stretch of bad baseball teams to play, the bats are going to look even livelier, and that's going to give them confidence going up against better teams later.
It's interesting that you talk about some of the bad teams, because ESPN put out their midseason list of offensive rankings. And this is something that we talked about. If the Rangers aren't in the top 10, I feel like we thought something would have gone terribly wrong.
Chris Young thought the same thing,
too. Yes. So, Dodgers, Yankees, Cubs, Diamondbacks are Mets, and Mets are the top five. Rangers are not in the top 10 or 15 or 20. You have to go all the way down to 25th to find the Rangers, and that puts them only ahead of some of the worst teams in the league: Colorado, Pittsburgh, the White Sox, who you just swept, the Marlins, and the Royals. I know me and Mike had kind of joked like this could be a really super low scoring series against the Royals, but I think that's probably fair for what they've shown most of the season. And most of the season they've shown that they're not a good baseball team when it comes to hitting, but there are positive signs. So let's take a look at three players in particular: Marcus Semien, Evan Carter, and Josh Smith. Okay. Josh Smith just won AL Player of the Week. So obviously he's rocking and rolling and doing well. But you look at some of the teams that you've played throughout the month. Some of them are truly awful, and I won't dispute that. But Minnesota is solid. Tampa Bay is good. And you look at what they've done for the month. Marcus Semien. His OPS for the month is 1.085. He's hitting .354. All right. Then you go to Mr. Player of the Week, Josh Smith, 1.091 OPS. He's hitting .377 this month. And then there's Evan Carter. His OPS since coming back, 1.231. Like, if you have an OPS above 800, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, good for you. If it's near or above 900, you're like, wow, we're doing a hell of a job right here. And then if you get above one, then you're probably the MVP or at least a big part of that conversation. So Evan Carter, 1.231 and a .387 batting average. So I wanted to spotlight those three individuals in particular for really having a big part in this. But then I wanted to dive into the numbers a little bit more. So Corey, you brought it up just a minute ago. We're looking at some of these games and they have two hits or they have no opportunity to score or whatever. So let's take a look at their last three series. They hit 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position against Tampa Bay. So putting aside the fact that that's just not very good, that's also not a lot of opportunities, right?
Right.
So you had three games against Tampa, and in all three of those games total, you had 11 at-bats with runners in scoring position. Hey, guess what? They lost all three of those games. All right, then you move into the Washington series. You're 3-for-23 with runners in scoring position. This is kind of a good news, bad news scenario. So that's a terrible hitting percentage with runners in scoring position. But positive, you more than double your opportunity with runners in scoring position, right? So then that takes you to the series against the White Sox. You were 5-for-37 with runners in scoring position. And here's one of the things I want to spotlight, and then we'll get back to the bad part of it. You only had 11 opportunities against Tampa.
Hold on, you said 5-for-37?
Correct.
In the series?
In the series.
I thought it was just in that game on Saturday.
That is true.
That's the way it felt.
And that is the way it felt because there's no reason that game should have gone to extra innings. It had like a 7-2 vibe all over it.
Yeah.
And then you found yourself going into extra innings. And I know that padded the opportunities with runners in scoring position because obviously every single at-bat you're going to get, or probably with the zombie runner starting on second base, is going to give you another opportunity. But even if you back out like six of those, that's 11 opportunities against Tampa, 23 opportunities against Washington, 31, even if you took out the extra innings against the White Sox. So what you're seeing is an increase in opportunity. So I will start by saying, I think that's a positive. All right. Yeah. It is a positive that you're getting more opportunities with runners in scoring position. Although, Corey, I will quickly acknowledge that if you're not doing anything with those opportunities, what difference does it really make? You know what they're hitting in those three series with runners in scoring position?
150.
Oh, so close. 140. 140. So that's never, ever going to cut it. So if I want to be positive.
Speaking of it, 140 today, crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation.
Oh, look at that. Look at that cross promote. Look at that cross promote.
I did it.
Tomorrow, 940, crosstalk with Sean and RJ from the Firehouse in Arlington.
Yeah, let's start hitting 940.
Yeah.
In these situations.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, okay. Agreed. Then you'll never, ever lose a game.
Yeah, that's the hope.
So, positive, you have three discernible standouts. Another positive, you've gotten more opportunities with runners in scoring position. Big, giant negative, you are not getting hits. And you just brought it up. You saw that on Saturday. They had 12 runners left on base going into extra innings. 12!
Kevin, who were the people coming up to the plate in those moments? And here's...
Oh, do you have a breakdown that's going to make me sad?
Here's where some unfortunate negative numbers
look,
happen.
And that's fair, because I don't want to just do segments like, oh, they got a couple of hits, they're back.
In the month of June, Corey Seager is hitting 103.
Golly. Golly.
Josh Jung is hitting 156. That's not me going after Josh Jung. Those are the two lowest batting averages on the team.
And by the way, both of those guys had opportunities to win the game that did not come through.
Josh, and how many times in the, I think it was two or three, I told you, Josh Jung seems like the right guy to have up in this moment, and then he let me down. Both of them. 12 strikeouts for Corey Seager in this month and 13 for Josh Jung.
Yikes.
Evan Carter has 4.
Wow.
But then go, okay, all right, so if you have strikeouts like that, like Evan or White Langford has 15 strikeouts this month.
Okay.
He leads the team in strikeouts. He also has 12 hits.
Okay.
And he also has 7 RBI. He's scored 5 times. Corey Seager has 12 strikeouts, 4 hits. Josh Jung has 13 strikeouts, 7. Like the bad and the good are not balanced out there. Like Berger's at 13 strikeouts with 15 hits, 3 home runs in that time. Corey Seager didn't have a home run this month.
And Josh Jung was rough on Saturday in some of those opportunities.
And those two guys, I'm not even bringing up Wyatt Langford in this conversation yet, because Wyatt Langford's doing most. I don't think Wyatt Langford's job right now is to drive in runs as much as it is to continue to move a runner over and be on base.
Okay.
I think
especially if they're going to have him at 2.
Yeah, hitting at 2, in my opinion, and I know Corey Seager's a different type of hitter, but if he's at 2, you're hoping he hits a double and that Josh Smith scores, or you're hoping that he gets on base and moves Josh Smith to third base, and then you have Seager coming up to drive one in. But Seager at this moment, Seager and Jung, and they're still trying to figure out where Jung belongs in the lineup. They don't know where Josh Jung goes because of the inconsistency of his bat right now. And Seager, if you're like, how many times, Kevin, for the last 3 years has Bochy been trying to figure out who belongs in the three hole?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll just put Corey Seager there, fine. And Corey Seager's like, I can't hit anymore. I don't know what's going on. And I know, I have a feeling, because of the history of Corey Seager, that it's going to come back at some point. And again, this is Chris Jung and me together believing that at some point he's going to come back to the mean, or he's going to come back to what he really is. Josh Jung, though, is a big concern in this. So, yes, as you have a group that when you were at your worst, nobody was hitting.
Yeah.
Now at least you have a portion of it, but now Bochy's struggling in the situation where he's like, okay, now I have runners on. The guys that I'm expecting to be in the position to do that aren't delivering, and they need to find theirs at some point.
So I think this is the perfect opponent to gauge realistically where you are. Because you look, we just talked about it. Kansas City's offense has been terrible this year as well. But the starting pitching that you're going to run up against, you're going to get a legitimate Cy Young contender, and bookended around them are two pitchers whose ERAs are like in the low 3s.
Yeah.
By the way, that legitimate Cy Young contender, he goes by Chris. I believe, obviously that's short for Christopher with a K. I believe that's spelled with an F. So just if you wanted a weird factoid
Chris
about that.
With an F?
No, Christopher with an F instead of a PH.
Where would you put the F in Chris, though? If you decided,
I would put it after the S.
Oh, Chris. Chris.
Yeah. So my point is that tomfoolery aside, which I did really enjoy, this is a team that is going to trot out excellent starting pitchers against you. So while you can make the complaint that Kansas City is not a particularly great team, well, guess what? Neither are the Rangers. You're going to go up against a great starting pitching staff in these three games. So if you can get an effective run of runners in scoring position, and then you can have let's set the mark easy, above 220 or above even 200 batting average with runners in scoring position, I think that's going to take a step that you need to know that the bats really are coming back around.
I will add, Corey Seager does have 14 walks this month.
Yeah.
Like that is a significant number.
Yeah.
But he has 5 total bases. Does walks not count as total bases then?
I thought
they
did, so that is confusing.
It's 14 walks, 5 total bases. The leader in total bases is Josh Smith with 35. So you're Josh Smith, who's making what? league
$800,000 or whatever, which as a human is great.
Has 30 more hits than the $250 million hitter that you have on your team,
yeah.
Which again, you know, Corey Seager's beating himself. He hates this right now,
yeah.
As competitive as he is.
Look, this game tonight, I think, will be really fascinating to see how much progress you've made, as will the series as a whole. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the lunch rush, NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, this is in honor of our trip to the ballpark on Saturday. What is the most annoying behavior or action you consistently see at a sporting event? We'll do them both next right here on The Fan.
Wilson gets the snap. Lofts right corner of the end zone, and it is hauled in by Pickens. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In case you are interested, yes, Cooper Flagg is here in Dallas. He's having his private workout, private visit, I think. I don't even really know if he needs a workout with the Mavericks.
Two things. Flag planted, right? Isn't that something
correct
that has happened? But didn't Jason Kidd say with us, let's wait until he has his official visit, and then I'll say his name?
Ooh, okay.
I remember him saying that with us, that he was like, can I just wait a little bit longer? So
look, we're closing in. Today, Cooper Flagg here is here in DFW. By the way, hasn't set up any other visits with any other team. Which we'll talk about another prospect tomorrow that's doing that, and that might be a mistake in their strategy. And then a week from tomorrow is the NBA draft, and as we talked about before, New Balance has called that Flag Day.
I like it, dude. I think it's smart of them. That's a really this goes back to, Kevin, also us talking a couple last week maybe about NIL deals, and
yeah.
You get the NIL deal in college,
yep.
And then you sign a 5-year deal with the kid. And NIL deals are going to continue, correct? Like you're getting,
yes.
You're going to get after July 1st, the
yeah.
Colleges are going to be able to pay you, but you can still get your deals.
And now the fascinating thing about that is you're going to have to do a better job of proving market value for that. And that's where I think the like lower tiered players, sorry, I didn't mean that in a disrespectful way, but like they will have more trouble with this. Whereas I don't think you'll have any trouble if you're New Balance, like proving the marketing value
right.
of Cooper Flagg.
But yeah, this is where you say, hey, we're going to keep this guy for 5 years. And we're going to follow him to his pro team.
Yeah.
And as opposed to just saying, you know what, we have him while he's in college and we'll sign a deal for 1 year, then next year. No, that was smart to get the number
yes.
one, the future number one overall pick and have him stuck with you for a while.
Absolutely.
Not stuck in a bad way.
No. I get what you're saying. All right. We're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Alec, I am currently ready.
I think I am now, yeah.
I feel pretty confident how you're going to answer this first question, but I feel like we need to discuss it because the Vikings supposedly passed on Aaron Rodgers because they had a 3-year Super Bowl plan with J.J. McCarthy. So, overreaction or reality, the Minnesota Vikings, for the first time in franchise history, will win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years.
Overreaction. Although I do think it's funny, like how the Vikings being connected to Aaron Rodgers, and it would have been all of Brett Favre's teams.
Oh, my God. It would have been amazing.
It would have been just the weirdest thing in life. But yeah, no, I think that's overreaction. I think they have an amazing receiver. I'm very interested to see what J.J. McCarthy is. Because I thought he was a winner in college.
Yeah.
He had a winning coach. He was a winner there. He was a different dude. You know, like they talk about his meditation and everything. And he's just a unique guy. But, man, I'm not going to say. In 3 years, though, maybe that plan will come together. But I think that things can fall apart very fast.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Alec, safe to say you're. Oh, he's thinking about it, Corey.
No, it's an overreaction, but two things can be true at once, right?
Where yes.
They have the right idea. Will it be executed? I don't think so. That's why it's an overreaction. But Aaron Rodgers is not the Super Bowl plan. Like, the rookie quarterback on the rookie deal with, for my money, the best non-quarterback in all of football on his team and building around with a great coaching staff, that's a Super Bowl plan.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to work.
NFL overreaction or reality, Lane Johnson is just now hitting his peak as a football player. Now, he said
at 35,
he's still improving at 35, and I also scoffed at this, but then I took a look. He's been all pro the last 4 years. Now, three times as a second teamer, one time as a first teamer, but that's obviously still super impressive. Is it possible that Lane Johnson is peaking at 35?
He's still so good.
He is.
He is, I mean, just absolutely strong. Peaking. And he's actually healthier right now,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe so. 35, he's got the experience to go along with it. Trent Williams wants to play till he's 40.
And like, he's still really good, too.
So, yeah, man, I'll stick with it. I think that, Lane Johnson stinks.
Hey.
And I'll stand by
that. You know
why
he's doing that, Alec? 1 o'clock. Unless he backs down, he is going to talk positively about the Eagles again. That is a reality.
The Eagles, by the way, were the number three team in pancake blocks last year.
What are you doing?
Behind the Chiefs and Lions. Lions, obviously, like when you talk about what they were last year, they were a run first team. They were a power run team, and they could do it in multiple ways. But Eagles then, so Lane Johnson, obviously part of that.
I can comfortably say that this is a reality because I don't have some sort of hidden bias towards the Philadelphia Eagles other than the fact that I can't stand them. But, Corey, to your point, he's been more available as of recent, whether it's for injuries or PEDs. He's actually staying on the field, and he's staying healthy, staying available, and he is still one of the best in the NFL, and it feels weird to say that someone can peak at 35. I hope I peak at 35. Because I feel like I already have. So, Lane Johnson, if you want to give me advice on how to get bigger, faster, stronger, and, you know, just better at life at 35, I'd love that.
At the age 43, the way to do that, Men's T Clinic. You can peak anytime in life at Men's T Clinic.
Yeah, very good point.
Man, I'm gonna start using that.
I think you should.
You can peak anytime.
All right.
Huh.
This is going down a route I don't care for.
I didn't meet
NFL overreaction.
You at the gym, huh?
Or reality, the Cowboys trading for George Pickens was one of the five riskiest moves of the offseason. In the NFL offseason, not just the Cowboys.
Interesting. Reality. I actually am trying to think of four other ones that are really risky.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Aaron Rodgers is risky.
I'll give you five through two, then we'll get to number one. Number five, Jaguars trade up for Travis Hunter. Number four.
I don't think that's risky.
Okay. And that depends on how you feel about Travis
Hunter.
But
it was a lot to get. Yeah, okay. All right.
And then, like, if you actually can't depend on him to play both sides. Like, if he's just a wide receiver, clearly you overdrafted at two.
All right.
George Pickens, Cowboys trade for him. That's number four. Number three, Patriots bet on Stephon Diggs to be the number one wide receiver. Well, it feels like early on. That is a fair assessment. And then, Corey, to your point, the Steelers bet their 2025 season on Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to number one in a second, but overreaction reality, Alec. The Cowboys trading for George Pickens was one of the five riskiest moves of the NFL offseason.
I'm going to go overreaction. I feel like it's win-win in every scenario, even if they don't win a Super Bowl, right? Like, I do think that...
I'm with you on that.
I do think that there's some benefits to, you know, expiring contract and mid-round pick. And, you know, the character concerns on the field is what everybody's going to equate that to riskiness, right?
Yes.
That's going to be the main thing. About. It's not actually, are they going to win games with him? It's going to be how many tantrums is he going to throw?
Right.
How many cameras are going to be in his face after he does something stupid on the field and he German suplexes a DB after Dak throws a pick?
Sweet.
Like, that's all the risk in my mind. You got a good football player for cheap and you didn't give up too much to get him. I think it was a smart football move.
Very calculated risk.
Yeah.
Very, very calculated.
That's a good way to put it.
I like that.
With the Cowboys thinking that they have a lot of things working in their favor.
Yeah.
The contract, you know, there's a lot of things, but very calculated on their part.
NFL overreaction or reality, the number one riskiest move of the offseason was the Seahawks betting everything on Sam Darnold.
That's pretty risky.
It is.
He didn't get quite the contract I thought he was going to get, though.
Okay, yeah, because it was like, I don't know, $35 million, give or take.
Yeah, I thought a team would do something ridiculous, but yeah. They were like, no, this is still Sam Darnold. Let's not let that one season fake us out, guys. It's still Sam Darnold. So... I think that helped, but yeah, no, I think it is a significant risk to say that's our guy because it is still Sam Darnold. But what are their other options beyond that?
I think it would have been keeping Geno Smith, right?
Yeah, I feel like
I'm with you on that.
Pete Carroll were destined to be with each other.
I'm with you on that, Alec.
Yeah, that's a reality because it goes to your Geno Smith point. How do you like logically upgrade from him in today's NFL without having like the number one overall pick in the draft?
Yeah.
You know, or pulling off some amazing blockbuster trade in the offseason for a franchise quarterback on an expiring deal where, you know, just for fun's sake, it's the Bengals and Joe Burrow because the Bengals hate all of their players. You know, like they say, you're not worth this money. We're going to trade you. You know, it would have to be some weird situation to upgrade from him.
Since you brought that up, NFL overreaction or reality, the Bengals are clearly wrong in the Shamar Stewart negotiations.
Yes.
they definitely are.
What
right?
Did he say that they're trying to win fights instead of games?
Yes.
That's a
so
great
essentially
line.
They're trying to add
the arguments, in, that's what it was.
They're trying to add in a clause, and we talked about this before, that would remove the absolute guarantees in Stewart's contract at a time when it's pretty much become rubber stamp. That the first round draft pick gets a fully guaranteed contract, and the Bengals haven't done this before, and now they're like, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. All right. So, you know what? I'm going to stick with the Bengals theme for just a second then. NFL overreaction or reality. For one reason or another, the Bengals defense will be absolutely awful again this season. Now, you could say that they're not going to re-sign Trey. They don't get it figured out with Shamar. Maybe it's injuries. Whatever. For one reason or another, the Bengals defense is going to be absolutely awful again this season.
So they hired Al Golden to be their defensive coordinator this year. That's going to be a difference. I think they're going to be better. I think that's overreaction. They were miserable last year. I don't think you can be worse than last year.
So even would a little bit better than miserable still be absolutely awful? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't have my word rankings.
Yeah.
My word thermometer.
Okay. I just want to get people's temperature on this since you said thermometer.
By the way, Golden was the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame.
Okay.
So don't you feel like a little more confident
there? Yes, that is fair. Do you think that a little bit better than miserable would still be absolutely awful?
I think so.
Figure that out. All right. Alec, regardless of the reason, overreaction or reality, the Bengals defense will still be absolutely awful.
Yeah, that's a reality. It's going to take a few years to repair that. You can't go from historically bad to even decent overnight. You can't do that in one offseason. It can't be one philosophical change with the guy calling the shots. It's got to be some supplementary work on the roster itself. And when you give two massive bags to two wide receivers, it really limits what you can do on the other side of the ball. It's simple math. It's going to take time.
Now, overreaction or reality, we talked earlier about the likelihood of the Cowboys carrying three quarterbacks into the season. I have seen people try to make this work. this would have to mean the Browns have one of the most talented teams in all of the NFL. Overreaction or reality, you buy the narrative that the Cleveland Browns could carry four quarterbacks on their roster into the regular season.
Reality, Kevin, because they are a chaos franchise.
Man, that's true.
It seems like you thought Kevin Stefanski was, when he arrived, that you were like, okay, finally got some leadership that they can run behind here. And he even can't control the whirlwind that is the Cleveland Browns. It's just consumes you.
That's such a great way to put that.
And you just get lost in it. It's Myles Garrett's lucky he's as giant as he is. Otherwise, he would too. I mean, he's just like, he gave in. You know, he's just like, I give up. If they're just going to give me the money, I guess I'll just give up and deal with it. At least I can go to the Rangers games.
Then he's throwing out first pitches in giant pants, yeah, dating Chloe Kim and saying Micah also deserves
Did
all the money.
Did you see him at that game?
With his giant pants.
He was huge. He stood up.
He's a big
in the
dude.
Stands, and every Rangers fan in the stands looked very tiny compared to him. I mean, he's a giant dude. He just stood out like a pillar
of
the community.
I like it.
What was the question?
That got derailed so quick.
About
the Cleveland Browns are carrying four
quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And we ended up with how Myles Garrett is like a pillar at the Rangers game.
Of the community.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
NFL overreaction or reality. The Commanders will not have Terry McLaurin on the roster at the start of the season.
Overreaction. Did you hear Austin Eckler talk about this? And this is the thing, man. I'm at a point now where I said this about Myles Garrett. I hope this isn't in the conversation, but he was like, yeah, Micah, go get paid, dude.
Yeah.
These guys don't care.
Sure.
The money's so big right now that they don't care who has the most anymore.
Right.
As much as I care about that, because that means the next guy and my next contract. If the next guy's going to get more than me,
sure,
that means something better for my next contract when it's time to negotiate. So they don't care anymore. And Austin Eckler, not the same.
And
but
he did get kind of jobbed on his money.
He's a teammate of him. He's like, go get every nickel you're worth.
Yeah.
Go get every penny that you deserve. And every one of his teammates are saying the same thing. I think Washington's eventually going to say, you know what? We have a great leader here. We need to pay the man. Let's go ahead and do it.
Okay. Alec, what say you? He has a base salary of $15.5 million. Going into the final year of his 3-year, $68.4 million contract, I would just assume, based on the market, he would want at least $30 million per year.
Yeah, he's severely underpaid, and I'm right there with Corey that they're going to get this worked out. It's just the typical case of hardball, trying to figure out what that exact market is, and I feel like that front office has already done too many good things, so I would like for this to fall through, just for our sake, but they've done so good in such a short amount of time at managing this roster, this team, and that fan base, and they've treated them so well in such a short amount of time. I feel like they can do no wrong. They're going to get it figured out.
Okay.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we're going to transition to the other question that I had in just a minute. What is the most annoying behavior or action you consistently see at a sporting event? But I wanted to ask y'all real quick tonight, Stanley Cup Final, game six. Florida up 3-2. They also have the home ice tonight. Do you believe that they will close it out? And I forgot to mention this yesterday. You talked about, Corey, how Marchand had looked like a stud. He has at least 5 goals multiple times in the Stanley Cup final. Only one other player had ever done that, and that is not Wayne Gretzky. It's Mario Lemieux, who, again, we talked about, if not for health issues, I think Mario Lemieux would at least be second best.
Gretzky would have been a bum compared to him.
No, I'm not going
to
say that.
That's what I thought you had said last time.
I think he might have had real competition.
Off air, that's usually what he says.
For who is the greatest of all time. But yeah, now the category, 5 goals or more in a Stanley Cup final multiple times. It's Mario Lemieux and now Marchand. That's terribly impressive.
So didn't Marchand and, if I remember correctly, hearing this over the weekend, him and McDavid played on the same club team?
Oh, yikes.
Or something like this. They were on the same team at some point, and when they were younger, maybe in high school or something like that. And isn't it kind of strange? Because McDavid is clearly thought of as the best hockey player on the planet. And Marchand's sitting there going, what am I? Chop liver?
Yeah.
You know, like that's got to be what he's thinking. And now he's sitting there going, I'm showing this dude up.
Yeah.
I am the best player on the ice, even if you're the best player on the planet.
And getting the cups to go along with it. Yeah. All right. Do you guys think Florida closes it out tonight?
This is it, man. This is it. Good luck to Edmonton tonight. But I think Florida knows how to shut the door. They know how to do it, and they're doing it tonight. They're like, on our ice, we want to celebrate. We want to hoist that cup in front of our fans. Let's get this one over with. I think it's done tonight.
I hate it because it's really good hockey and I want to keep watching it, but I do think it's over. And even for the selfish fact that I want it to be over tonight, just because I know that the Panthers are going to have the best social graphics that you have ever seen in your life, especially after winning a championship. Their social media is just going to be fun to watch. But in all seriousness, I wish this thing would go 7. I don't believe it does. I do think that the better team is going to win tonight, and that is the Florida Panthers.
Think about this. If Edmonton was to win and it goes to game 7 on Friday, right now the cheapest ticket you can get for that game is $1,881. And I would imagine if it came to fruition that game was going to happen, that price would only go up.
He was the first ever.
I mean, maybe. Maybe if you sell your tickets. Alec, can you go ahead and give me cut number 7? We're going to go back to Saturday, and this was the game winner from Adolis Garcia.
Here's the pitch. Swung on in a high drive, deep center field. Back goes Robert, and he can't get it. The Rangers have won it. Adolis Garcia singles to the 410 sign in left center. And the Rangers stream out of the dugout and mob El Bumby.
So on Saturday, we got the opportunity to do something super fun. We went out to the ballpark. We got to sit and share a suite with Steven and his family because they won the auction.
It was awesome.
From Peace-a-thon. And so we kind of talked about how fun that experience was. So I want to throw this out there because there were a lot of annoying behaviors that we saw across the stadium, including there was a Tolo in the suite right next to us who he wanted to complain about something in particular. It was the 10th inning and it was time for the girl power picture, you know, like, oh, we're all ladies, we're having a fun night out, now it's time for the picture. And he goes, that's something you do in the second inning, not in the 10th inning. And so he was, and they were in his suite, so you would think perhaps people that he knew, and he was super annoyed by that. So I wanted to start off, super annoying arena or stadium behavior is taking the pictures at the inappropriate time. And to go along with that, this might be my number one. People without kids just standing up and maybe or maybe not leaving when play is going on. This is especially prevalent in the NBA and the NHL. I know sometimes if you have kids, they'll just get up and start to move and they're unpredictable. But if you're an adult and there's a play in the midst of going on, sit your ass down. Wait till the stop and play and then go. Unless you got a phone call that somebody's dying and you got to get to the hospital, then we'll obviously we'll grant leeway for that.
The 817, idiots yelling "get in the hole," mashed potatoes, or any other stupid saying after any shot at a golf tournament.
They do it way too soon.
I love the "get in the hole," especially on the drive on a par five. You're like, "get in the hole." It's ridiculous. It's not going to happen, but it's still hilarious. Because what if it did? What if a Happy Gilmore moment happened and he got a hole in one on a par five?
True.
I'm okay with that. But golf's interesting to me. This might take a little more time than you expected, Kevin.
Oh.
The other day I heard, you know, somebody did something and it was very out of character for golf. I was like, isn't that why Liv's kind of winning right now? Liv's
collecting the TV ratings.
They're collecting more like people at their places because it's a fun vibe. And that is golf. Do we just have to continue to treat it as the richest, you know, most we can't have any fun kind of sport forever? Or is there going to be a time where we're like, you know what? It's just like every other sporting event and it's all fun. Arizona's a place. You got a couple of different ones that are fun, but then there's the Masters. And I feel like golf wants to be the Masters all the time. All right, that's my rant.
Okay.
I don't like, this is not necessarily in the stands. This is on the concourse.
Oh.
I don't like when people walk slowly or take up significant space as a group and walk slowly around the concourse.
Dude, I'm going to read you word for word what I had written down. People on a leisurely stroll and spaced out, especially when the game's about to start. I get it. If the game didn't start for a while, like, do what you got to do. But the people who feel like they've never walked before, and they're like, I'm just going to walk with my arms hanging out and at one or half a mile an hour, even though first pitch is in 2 minutes and you got a boogie. I am absolutely with you on that. Now, this one I think could be a little controversial. From the 901, most annoying action at a sporting event when someone in the lower level stands the entire game. You have a great seat. Sit the F down so people behind you can see. Now,
why don't you stand up?
Would you argue that, or would you argue why don't you stand up, or why don't you get a better seat?
Be a better fan. Stand up.
Oh,
I love sitting down.
Sure, sitting down is the great equalizer. Everyone loves a good sit.
I've often said that. Sitting down, we sit all day on our, you know, here at the show. Sometimes we try to stand up to loosen the back up and everything, but sitting down at a game is great. But if you're there, man, you bought the ticket. Why did you buy the ticket? To see your team win?
Sometimes it's to be seen,
or
right?
To socialize.
Yeah.
And I bought the ticket so that I could see my team win. That's me. I think if you're upset that somebody is in front of you standing up, go ahead and stand up too. And then maybe the rest of the arena will stand up with you and it'll be a more enjoyable experience. But I get it for the people that want to see. It is weird if somebody's holding a sign up the whole game. That's a problem. Like, that's extra distance that nobody expected right there.
Sure. Now, from the 817, because we saw this, I could just envision Chuck Morgan being mad about this in the moment. The 817, I can't stand it when the crowd starts trying to do the wave in the later innings of a close game. Pay attention and keep cheering on your team. In extra innings, people were trying to get the wave going. And I just envisioned Chuck Morgan being like, the wave is stupid, but especially right now, the game's on the line. What the hell are you doing?
He's got a detonation button like right there. No. And he's holding his hand over it going, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. And Eric Nadell runs down there. He's like, no, don't. We're not dreaming.
From the 972, the annoying hockey fans that yell, hey, announcer, how much time is left? And he says, 1 minute remaining in the period. Does that mean like they really don't know or they're timing it up? So like they'll ask the question and it feels like the announcer is responding to them.
1 minute.
Yeah. And then from the 214.
And you hear the clack, 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 clack.
Yes, exactly. Don't tell me when to stand up and when not to stand up. Look,
I'm not telling you how to fan.
I can't enforce any of these rules. I just think it is super annoying. Alec, do you have a particular sports annoyance or fan annoyance when you go to the games?
Y'all actually hit my 1 and 1A. The wave is stupid at any point in any game, at any arena, at any stadium. The wave is pointless. It's dumb. Find a better bit. Like, come on.
Okay.
It's just outdated. It's dumb. And especially, like you said, in the later innings of a game, I get so mad at the stadium when it happens. I probably get overly mad to the point where whenever it really starts to develop, my friends just kind of make that slow turn to look at me. Like, he's going to be red in the face, isn't he? And I know for a fact a lot of the players hate it, too. Whenever it's like a one-run game and you're in the eighth inning, you're trying to get a big third out and you're doing the wave.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, be a fan. That's not being a fan. That's being a dork.
I'm really excited to see what kind of feedback we get to one of these. Now, I'm going to read one more quick, and then we'll get to potentially controversial. The 817, I cannot stand when I go to a Rangers game and a fan has a Cowboys or Mavs jersey on, or when I go to a Stars game and a clown has a Chiefs jersey on. What do you guys think about the jersey that there's no chance that team is playing? Like, I get it if you're wearing a throwback from, like, that team or one of the teams competing, but what do you think about the person who's like, well, I'm going to a sporting event, I need to wear a jersey even if it's not the same sport?
I mean, first off, if I see a clown at the stadium, I'm pretty excited.
I don't think they mean a literal clown with the makeup and everything.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Well, because if you dressed up as a clown, I'm definitely asking for a balloon animal.
I am definitely not sitting next to you.
Why not?
If I can help it.
Are you afraid of clowns?
Because that person is there to murder you.
No, they're not.
If
not
somebody
all clowns
just,
are killers.
Yeah, you're right. But if you just go out in a social situation for no reason dressed as a clown, I am going to try to stay away from
you. Look, dude, okay, two things about the clown person at the stadium. One, middle of the day in front of thousands of people. Two, maybe nobody else can see him, only it's you. That means they're probably murdering you. But whenever it's a clown, I'm not afraid if it's in a group of a lot of people. I'm afraid if I'm driving down the highway at night and I see them on the side of the road holding a balloon and trying to tempt me to come over there and get the balloon. That's what I'm afraid of the clowns. What was the question?
That's the second time in the last two seconds.
I've had rants today, dude. Right. I've been very focused on my rants.
Let's get to the 817. This person says, hot take. People standing up and taking their hats off for God Bless America in the seventh inning. We have one national anthem, not two.
I literally asked Kevin this on Saturday. Whenever God Bless America came on, I was like, do I have to take my hat off for this? And Kevin goes, I think so. And so I just did. And I was like, I don't think you have to take it off for that.
I mean, that person says no.
Yeah.
But do you ever get in a situation where you're like, all right, I have two options. I might not have to do option one, but if I do option one, there'll be no problems, no concerns, everything is fine. If I don't, there could be a problem. This feels like one of those things.
I have options.
Yeah, like if you take your hat off, I don't think anyone's going to be like, hey, stupid idiot, put your hat back on. But if you don't, I could see how people would get really heated.
What if I turn around and talk to somebody the whole time?
I would not recommend that, but I am not going to tell you how
would
you, to
would that
anthem.
Be disrespectful?
I could see how some...
it's not the anthem, it's just
look,
a song.
As we determined several years ago, what people think is or is not disrespectful in the playing of these songs can vary wildly.
Do you remember God Bless America being played when you were young at the stadiums? Because I don't. I remember the anthem and then seventh inning stretch, and that was it.
I really don't. The only time I really remember is I thought they would always sing God Bless America at the beginning of WrestleMania, and then other than that, everywhere else was national anthem, and I was like, huh.
From the 214, let's get Corey a shirt that says, what was the question?
I would support that. From the 817, most annoying behavior at a sporting event is when adults step in front of young children and act like their viewing pleasure is more important. It's always if you try to snag the souvenir away from the kid. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, that's going to make that kid's day.
The coolest thing, and I think every adult that ever catches a foul ball should enjoy the moment of having the foul ball for a minute. And then if there is a kid around, you know what? Give that kid his special day. Because that kid's going to have that ball forever and remember you for it.
Yes. Right?
They may not know your name, but they're going to go, that dude, I remember his face. I remember him saying, hey, kid. They're going to remember it forever.
From the 469, dude, I work at pest control, and I absolutely hate people who can't walk. It's like, is today your first day of being a human? That's a great point. And I feel this way about driving, too. I don't want to segue too far into that. It's the people who walk or drive as if there is no such thing as time in the world. They'll never have anything that they need to do. They don't need to conform or even get close to the speed limit. They're just driving la, la, la.
In the left lane.
Yeah.
In the left lane. And you're like, why are you even in this lane right now?
Yes. Hey, also, if you're a parent with a kid at a sporting event, I mean, at least try to figure out what the beef is with your kid. I think the same thing in an airplane. Like, if you're a little kid or a baby in an airplane, he's probably going to cry. You're going to have to deal with that. But it's the parent who acts like nothing is happening that you're kind of like, okay, just like at least pretend that you're doing something so I can be like, hey, they're doing their best.
From the 469, that's why I bring my own kid to all the games. So if I catch a foul ball, I don't have to give it to some goofy kid. Do you give hand the ball to
that's
your kid though?
Oh, rude.
Do you hand the ball to your kid? Or are you like, no, this is mine, catch your own?
Man,
Zach
that
Campbell texting in.
That is harsh. Or you gave it to that other kid, like who's not even your kid. That would be so messed up.
That'd be amazing.
We're the KNC like
he's
masterpiece.
Been nicer this whole game than
yeah.
you.
Yeah. That kid's been just perfect. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
You know what? I'm stealing something from Philadelphia. Next on the Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.